The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is Adam Fields with the Midnight27Studios.com, creator of the Prowl comic book series. You are listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your host, Mr. Frustrated, John Orlando, and I'll explain why I'm frustrated here in just a few moments, but welcome to episode number 169, which is going to feature highlights from my trip to the Monroe Comic Con that happened a couple weeks ago, September 15th, as a matter of fact. I drove up Friday night, I stayed in a hotel in suburban Toledo, and then Saturday, I rolled on into the spot, Monroe, Michigan, the Monroe Comic Con. Had a blast. Got an opportunity to hang out with Brian Lau and just help him out at the table. Got a chance to meet some new people. Got a chance to do some podcasting. And so I'm bringing you the highlights from the Monroe Comic Con. I guess I'm going to say highlight number one is that Brian Lau is going to have some big news. If you're not following him on Twitter, at Staunch Ambition, you probably should be, and I know that he's announced this big news on Twitter and also on Facebook, but you know what? I'm not going to steal his thunder. I'm going to let Brian talk about his big news, which will be in the episode here. Second highlight for me was meeting new folks. That's right. There was a lot of great people that stopped by the table to pick up the book, and I got a chance to talk with them, and you hear our conversations. And I got to meet some guys up there in Detroit, Dylan and Tyler, who are doing a book along with their partner there called Motor City Mo. And weirdly enough, I also found out that Tyler is involved in the world of professional wrestling. What a small world it is. But probably the biggest highlight of my trip to Monroe, Michigan, and the Monroe Comic Con was the opportunity to sit down and chat with two legends of the comic book industry, Arvell Jones and Glenn Fabry. Now, this is where I got a little bit frustrated with this episode of the PVD Cast. I'm just going to be honest. I'm just going to tell you the upfront truth. I consider myself Mr. Frustrated right now because in the middle of Arvell Jones' interview, I had a small technical issue. Something went haywire with my microphone. I thought that I fixed the problem, but apparently the last 3 minutes of the interview that we did sounded awful, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what went on, and I did everything in my power to try to salvage that 3 minutes of audio, but it just couldn't do it. So it's going to very abruptly cut off right when Arvell is telling a story about his time working on All-Star Squadron. I have already reached out to Arvell, and I will say this publicly so everybody can hear me. I am so upset at the fact that this happened because Arvell Jones was one of the nicest, most sincere comic book creators I've ever met, and it was a pleasure talking to him. And I have reached out to him. I want him to come back on the PVD Cast. I will have him back on this podcast. That's right. I'm determined because I feel awful. I really feel awful that this happened. But like I said, I tried my damnedest to try to fix that audio, but I just couldn't. And I wasn't going to put it up there and have people, you know, say, I couldn't understand a word he was saying. I couldn't understand what you were saying, John. So you're only going to get about a 5 minute chunk of story from Arvell Jones. And I do apologize for that. I'm also going to be maybe a little bit overly critical about myself as well with the interview with Glenn Fabry. I was just in awe. I was a little bit of a major fanboy getting an opportunity to meet Mr. Fabry because I'm a huge fan of Preacher. He's done some covers for Lobo. I'm a big fan of that character. But I've just admired his work so much. And so I marked out a little bit. I won't lie. And I was fully prepared that if he said yes to the interview, that I would be ready to go. And you know, as anybody knows me, that they will tell you, I thoroughly prepare for these podcasts. And everything that I had read had Glenn Fabry having his last name pronounced Fabry. Everybody at the convention even said it that way. And then, like I said, I looked it up. So I go over to do the interview and I pronounce it that way and he corrects me that it's Fabry. I am just mortified, ladies and gentlemen. I am mortified that here, sitting next to this man, I did such a major screw up. I felt like an absolute dunce. And he was cool with it. He really was. He just told me, don't worry about it. And I stopped recording and started over again. But, you know, now that I sit back and I listen to the interview, I don't know if I brought my A game. I think I was a little bit shell-shocked by the fact that I did just such a major blunder. And I felt so shitty about it. It's a great, great interview on behalf of Glenn Fabry. He'd share some really crazy stories, and that's great. But I'm just going to say that I feel, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe some of you will tweet me or email me and say, John, you're an idiot. You're being completely unrealistically stupid because you were fine. But I don't know. So that's why I'm frustrated. That's why I mentioned that I'm, quote, Mr. Frustrated, end quote, about this episode, because I like putting out quality PVD casts for my fans to listen to, and I feel like this one's a little subpar, I'm not gonna lie, but I hope you like it, I hope you enjoy it. Like I said, it was a blast being up there, hanging out with Brian, and meeting all these folks. So with that being said, I'm gonna throw it to the Audible ad here real quick, as I have it on my format. Then I need to tell you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, iPad, tablet, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. As I've said many times before, I've read some things on Audible. I know what their catalog is like, and they have a book for you, guaranteed. All right, so to download your free audiobook today, just go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast for your free audiobook. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, it's all the highlights of the Monroe Comic Con for 2018. All right, folks, here it is, the beginning of the Monroe Comic Con. Doors have just opened recently here. So what are we anticipating, Brian?
I'm anticipating a party, man.
A party?
Yeah. First thing I did was I ran over to Mr. Clayton Crane's table.
Yes, and you got some news that I think the listeners at home would like to hear about. What's the news that you have?
I want to thank you for setting me up in the line there. But
Yeah,
the news is I got him to sign some of the books covers exclusives he did for my cover to issue 3.
Okay.
And I gave him his copies.
Uh-huh.
But the big news is I was kind of contemplating who to have do my cover for doing a one-shot firefighter book dealing with real-life firefighter stories.
Right. Based on, real quick, just to interject, based on stories from firefighters you know, firefighters you've met, firefighters that have been in your family. Yeah, okay.
All Detroit firefighters.
Yep.
But so it's going to be, I'm going to string all these stories together into a narrative. So, you know,
okay,
a little bit of fiction, but straight up, you know, stories right out of real life situations. But yeah, I just couldn't resist. And Clayton Crane was like willing to do the issue. So he's going to do the cover to the firefighter book.
Well, congratulations on that, man.
Yeah. I'm excited. I love his work. I'm honored to be working with him. That guy is, to me, he's probably my favorite artist working in the industry.
And you know
that
what?
That says a lot, right?
Yeah. And you know what? He's a fan favorite here at Monroe, and Monroe Comic
second
Book
year,
Convention.
Yeah,
he's back
year
again. And everybody we talk to, when they stop by the table, when we point out that he did the cover to issue 3, you know, he gets a lot of praise from a lot of the fans
They're
that are here.
They're drooling all over my books. It's ridiculous.
It is. I had to go get a mop, ladies and gentlemen. I had to get a mop and mop up all the saliva. But, wow, there's a word I didn't think I would say on this podcast, saliva.
Saliva. So, that's the name of my next book.
Is it?
Yeah. Isn't that a catchy tune? Catchy title? Saliva. Wouldn't you want to read that?
No.
No?
Really, no.
maybe that's not good. I might change the name. It's in production.
I think you should probably reconsider that. Yeah,
it would be a good rock band.
Well, it is a rock band.
Is it really?
There was a rock band named Saliva. You don't remember that?
No,
In the late 90s or Saliva?
I'm not into that Saliva clip.
They were pretty bad. According to me, they were not very good.
But anyways...
Well, we didn't hear that.
Yeah, no one heard that. Anyways, but excited for the day. I want to see you know, how many people stop by the table. I want to go and stop by Glenn Fabry's table and talk to him.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, I got two
Maybe you can get a podcast.
Maybe. Ooh. I'm going to ask. There's only two answers, yes or no, right?
Yeah.
So I'll ask. I got my two issues of Preacher and another book that he did to get signed, so I'm looking forward to that. Man, I'm telling you, it's looking pretty steady here so far.
There should be another good year. Here, and there's a good amount of people, man.
Yeah, so it should be another good year. So, Brian, why don't we close up for now, and we'll come back. Well, no, I don't know what song you're talking about.
A duet. I don't know.
You want to do a duet?
From a musical? Flash Gordon would be good. Flash Gordon musical.
Yes,
if anybody's ever heard our
that's right.
Remake Revolution.
That's right.
musical, Flash Gordon's Muse.
Mm-hmm.
All right, whatever. But
anyways,
you have to go check out that episode.
Yeah, you do. Well, check out all the episodes, ladies and gentlemen, over at pvdcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts from. And yes, I know that over the last couple days I've been tweeting out that pvdcast.com is currently being glitchy, and I am working on it, but just got to be honest, I haven't had time.
Figure it out.
Just figure it out?
Yeah, they don't.
Okay. Stop being lazy. Just do it, right?
Figure it out. Yeah, glitchy.
Glitchy. Really, it's glitchy. I don't know what the problem is.
It's annoying.
Yeah. It is when technology doesn't work. But, hey, nonetheless, we're going to take a little break. We're going to get into it. We'll be back here probably at the end of the day, and we'll talk about how the con went. Cool?
Yeah. So far, so good.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting down with legendary artists Glenn Fabry. Sir, how are you today?
I'm all right, thank you.
Did I mess it up again?
No, you didn't. No, it's like, the strange thing is, it's like most people in America have a tendency to like sort of say, is it Glenn Fabry? And I said, no, it's supposed to be pronounced Fabry.
Fabry.
And it's all, you know, what, you know, I've got children, but they're adults now. I mean, my daughter's sort of 18, my son's 21, and you know their surnames are obviously sort of Fabry, but they can't be asked to, you know, sort of say Fabry. As long as somebody just says Fabry, that's enough of them. Mostly people in England say Farby, but the reason why it's pronounced Fabry is because of my grandfather on my father's side. Fabry is a French name. He sort of fought his French mother in the First World War over in France.
Okay.
And killed loads of Germans.
Okay.
While he was over in England, people would call him John Fabry. And you're going, yeah, it's not Fabry. It's fine. He found out his mother's family was being killed over in France by Germans. So he went over there, killed Germans, and he was like, sort of standing in the line to accept his medals, which my father is still alive, still has. And this German guy came past and said, what is your name? And he goes, it's John Fabry. He goes, no, it is Fabry. Fabry. So ever since then, my father and my brother, and it's pronounced Fabry, but my son and my daughter, they've given up on it. So anyway. So I am, me and my brother are the last Fabrys.
Okay, yeah. Sir. I like that
story.
That is a long and boring story.
No,
it's not. It is fascinating. Yeah. Let me just tell you right now. You're most known for your work on doing the covers for Preacher and for Hellblazer and for a variety of other books. Can I ask real quick how your working relationship was with Garth Ennis?
That was brilliant. I mean, me and sort of Garth and Steve, we were actually matey.
Okay.
You know, we were sort of got friends and that sort of stuff like that. And Will Game of Thrones Simpson as well. Will fucking Simpson, who's, you know, he does all the storyboards for the Game of Thrones. He designed all the characters. Mm-hmm. Television series.
Yes.
Yeah, he was working with Garth on sort of Hellblazer before Steve Dillon. Mm-hmm. DVD sort of came in. And I've known all these guys for ages and ages. You know, so... you know, the reason why I ended up doing the Hellblazer covers with Garth and Steve and Will, Game of Thrones Simpson, was that they had this guy doing the covers, and sort of Garth didn't like the covers this guy was doing. I'd done some work with him over in England in 2018 related projects like that, and Garth like, sort of said to the people in America, why don't you get Glenn Fabian to like sort of paint some covers? And they've been able to sort of they've been able to come to street shows in England before, and he's like, no, Glenn Fabry, he's a drunk. Every time we see him, he's always pissed off of his head. We're not gonna hire that bloke, he's useless. And that's what Carl said, so we'll give him a go. So we'll give him one go. We'll allow him to do one Hellblazer cover.
Okay.
So we did one Hellblazer cover. I tried to do a really good job of it. And it went down well, so I ended up doing another however many it was, and ended up winning the Eisner Award for best cover artist.
There you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, so
go ahead.
Alex Ross, Alex Ross, Alex Ross, Alex Ross, Alex Ross, Alex Ross, Glenn Fabry, Alex Ross, Alex Ross, Alex Ross, Alex Ross. You know.
Yeah. That's.
So.
Well.
So that, you know, that they thought they would be ashamed to employ me, and then they were. Yeah.
Well, can I ask real quick about sometimes the controversial matters that were brought up in Hellblazer, and especially with Preacher? What are your thoughts on those folks that have negative criticisms about the violence and the sex and the over-the-top themes of those books?
The things that Garth and Steve were interested in were cowboy movies, and the things that I were into were silent movies, like black and white, like Buster Keaton, like Laurel and Hardy, like Charlie Chaplin, and things like that. And if you look at that stuff, you know,
yeah,
I mean it's just there.
Yeah,
I mean we haven't got any sort of gynecological kind of details or anything along those lines, but you know it's. It's part and parcel of the, you know, the visual storytelling.
Sure.
Entertainment.
And it adds some depth to it. I think that Preacher is one of the most philosophical books out there that's ever been created. And you're laughing at that, but I really do. I think that idea about thinking about the afterlife and whatnot is very philosophical.
Well, yeah, it's all of that. I mean, the thing about Preacher was, you know, I know they just recently, you know, last sort of few years or so, sort of finally managed to make a television program out
Correct.
Of it. And I'm glad that Steve Dillon was still alive when they fucking sort of did that. But the amount of people who've been, like, sort of saying, oh, we'll sort of go and make some films out of it, or we'll do this, we'll do that. For about the last like 15 years,
right.
People have been like, sort of going up to it and giving Garth shitloads of money, you know, so they've got the opportunity to make a film out of it, and then they actually have to sit back and read the script and realise that it's blasphemous. And it's after the point where they realise that it's blasphemous, all of a sudden people just backed out, but Garth and Steve still have the money, but it's now that blasphemy is in.
Yeah, it seems to be. Do you notice any difference between creating comics in Britain as opposed to creating comics in the United States? Is there more flexibility over here? Is there more creative freedom? Or is there no difference at all?
Well, at the moment, there's really no difference at all. Okay. Because the only sort of people who are actually sort of doing comics over in Britain are like sort of 2000 AD, which is still going.
Yep.
Even though, you know, I mean, 2000 AD was only supposed to last 6 months, man. And
really?
Here it is, you know, kind of...
I don't know how many
2000
years
ago. Oh, yeah. What is it? 2070. It's about 40 years?
Yeah.
50 years or something stupid. Like, so 2000 AD has been going. And without 2000 AD, we wouldn't have Garth. He wouldn't have had Alan Moore. He wouldn't have, like, you know...
The who's who. of artists and creators.
You
know,
yes,
and,
you know, Dave Gibbons, you know, all of them, all of the really good ones from Britain. Anyway,
so there's no, there's really no difference between the two, between creating here in the United States or over in Britain.
No, I don't think so, because you know, that was the original question. Yeah, you know, it's just like you know, sort of basically, we've only got 2000 AD and Warhammer.
Okay.
You know, the comics published in Britain that any more than about 10 people are going to buy. And it's practically the same over in America.
All right, last question. If you were to give advice to any artist that's coming up that wants to be involved in the comic book industry, what advice would you give them?
Put your stuff on Facebook. Put your stuff up on art sites on Facebook. People will be able to have a look at your stuff. Okay. I mean, if you're going to send it off to editors and stuff like that, they're going to file it under B for bin. You know, put your stuff up on Facebook or one of those kind of sites where people actually have a look at what you're capable of doing and all that kind of thing. Do it regularly, and if you're good enough, people will be interested in paying you money to do pictures of things.
Cool. Well, it has been an honor and a privilege to sit down here and talk to you. I sincerely mean that. Is there any websites or social media or anything you'd like to let people know about? Or
I'm just on Facebook. I'm on Messenger. You know, there are a couple of things I'm doing. There's a couple of sort of. I'm still doing covers for Neil Gaiman's American Gods. I think there's a couple more of them that I've got left to do. I'm actually going to be doing some work for 2000 AD, and there's also a couple of comic book things that I'm going to be working on. I've decided that I'm only going to be doing the comic book stuff for the next year or so.
Okay.
I think after that, I'm either going to give it up, be self-employed, or just try and make a living out of kind of fine art.
Okay. Well, again, thank you very much for sitting down and chatting with me. I really, really appreciate it.
Was it funny?
Yes, I enjoyed it. Thank you very much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am here with the first customer of the day, a gentleman named Doug. Doug, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Well, is this your first time being at Monroe Comic Con, or do you come every year?
No, this is my first time at this one.
So what do you think of the show so far?
So far, it's great. It's a lot of great artists. I love independent artists, and they got a lot of them here, so it's great.
Why did you decide to pick up issues 1 and 2 of Staunch Ambition, if I may ask?
Well, we're super excited to always support, like, the smaller guy, independent guy who's getting started, and hopefully it turns out to be, like, totally awesome, so we want to check it out before it does.
All right, awesome. Will you let us know what you think about the book when you get them all read and whatnot, okay?
Definitely will.
All right, thanks for stopping by. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, so folks, I'm here with Dean. Dean, how are you today?
Hi.
Is the Comic-Con everything you expected here?
It's a lot more bigger than I expected. Like, I expected it to be a little bit smaller since it's more local, but I love it. It's great.
So this is the first time you've been to Monroe?
To Monroe, yes.
Okay.
I've been to 3 cons before. 2 of them have been local. 1 of them was in Detroit about a month ago.
Okay. Cool. You stopped by the table, you picked up Staunch Ambition. Can I ask, why did you decide to pick up the issues?
There are a couple of reasons. One is the artwork. The artwork, both the covers and the interiors are absolutely gorgeous. And I like the concept that technology has gotten so advanced that we can contact the supernatural and be able to use that. So I think that premise is really interesting, and I'm very curious to read it and see where that goes.
Cool. Well, when you read it, how about you let us know how you like it, all right?
All right, I'll
shoot us an email or whatnot.
All right, sure, I will do that.
All right, Dean, thank you very much for stopping by the table, man.
All right, thank you very much. What was your name again?
John.
John, thank you very much, John.
No problem.
Thanks, Dean. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a returning customer to the table here at Monroe Comic Con. Joe, you were here last year, and you stopped by the table and talked to us, so how you been?
Things have been going pretty good. You know, I, of course, had to come back for this year's Monroe Comic Con, had to check out Staunch Ambition, and had to pick up that issue 3. I mean, Clayton Crane knocks out of the park every time.
Yeah, and you picked up the special variant from, because you backed the Kickstarter, and through a little bit of snafu or whatnot, you didn't get it, so we're glad you stopped by and picked it up today. How's the con been for you?
The con's been really active, actually. I mean, I got in here with my VIP pass a half hour early, and I actually got beat to Clayton Crane's table by somebody else, so it's definitely hectic, but it's a fun time, real good stuff.
Cool. Did you pick up anything interesting?
I did pick up a sketch from Glenn Fabry. It's a Stallone-style Judge Dredd, and I think it's pretty unique.
That's pretty awesome, man. You showed me the photo of it, and it is really well done, and it's a real unique piece. In fact, real quick, do you want to share with the listeners, why did you pick the Stallone Dredd?
Sure, yeah. You know, I grew up with a lot of the 80s and 90s action flicks. My father would play them for me, and it was one of the ones that really stuck with me. I grew up with Judge Dredd. I grew up with a lot of Stallone movies like Rocky and such, and so he, even though he is a person in real life, his character that he portrays in movies, I really love it.
All right. Well, Joe, thanks again for stopping by, man. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with Brad. Brad stopped by the table and picked up all four issues of Staunch Ambition. First of all, Brad, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing fine, bud.
So you picked up all four issues. Why did you get all four issues of Staunch Ambition? What drew you to buy that book?
Well, one, anything that has anything to do with Michigan local, Detroit, awesome, like, I'm all about it. For one, guy's got star-spangled hat, star-spangled polo, dripping from head to toe in American pride, and I'm all about that. Yeah.
You know what? You're the first person to compliment him on that motif. But you know, it certainly makes him stand out. We appreciate that, right, Mr. USA?
Yeah, yeah. He's a patriotic man, and he gave me some.
Why are you referring to yourself in the third person?
He. This fine man gave me some American cash, and I gave him some American blood, sweat, and tears in my book.
Okay. Well, anyway, so you got all four issues of Staunch Ambition. Let us know what you think about it, man.
Well, they look awesome. I haven't got a chance to read them yet. So.
Yeah, but most definitely, when you do, just let us know what you think, and what else are you excited about seeing here at Monroe Comic Con?
Hopefully some freaking nerd titties and big comics, you know.
Traditional stuff.
Hey,
I'm not opening my shirt for you.
Damn it. All right, Brad, thanks, man, for giving us a few minutes of your time, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. You take it easy, all right?
Thanks. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am standing here with Dylan and with Tyler from Motor City Mo, which tell the folks at home what Motor City Mo is all about.
So Motor City Mo is the comic book that me, Dylan, and our other partner Kyle wrote. It's set in Detroit. It's about a guy who has a healing ability similar to Deadpool or Wolverine, except he's not as capable, let's say, as any of those other guys. Actually, if you're a wrestling fan, Dylan had the idea to sort of base a guy off of Mick Foley, essentially, where he can take a beating, he keeps on ticking, but really that's his superpower, is that he can just take a beating. So we open with Mo. He's sort of at the end of his rope. He's actually trying to kill himself, but he can't die. And then through the first book, he sort of finds a reason to live, and we're about to do a Kickstarter for the second book, and then hopefully release it in December.
So how has the book been received by the public? Because you were telling me you do a lot of cross-promoting, even with a local wrestling promotion and whatnot. So how's the book been received?
Oh, man, we've been lucky with how it's been received.
We've been getting really lucky at a lot of the local cons. We're in a couple of stores. We've been getting nothing but good feedback. It's pretty cool. Wrestling shows, surprisingly, not a lot of people buying the comic. They're more interested in buying his shirts and prints and all that. But like at shows like this, we do pretty well for ourselves. It's pretty awesome. It's validation for all the work we've done.
Yeah, and the comic book stores that we've been in, like Nine Planets and Dearborn Heights, Big Ben's, they've been just so nice, so gracious, getting the book in there and helping us out and giving us pointers and stuff. So yeah, I mean, it's just the overwhelming support.
And you do wrestle here in the area for Clash Wrestling predominantly, and you wrestle as the Elk, correct?
Yeah, as Elk, yes. Elk the Caveman.
How long have you been working?
I've been working for about 10 years, mostly exclusively for Clash, but been to Ohio, been to Indiana, hit that sort of tri-state circuit. So
who trained you?
So I was trained by Truth Martini.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So yeah, Truth Martini trained me, broke in with Clash, all those guys. We were real good friends. Yeah, that's sort of the story.
And it's still fun for you, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's a blast.
Well, there you go. That's what's the most important thing, is you got to enjoy it. Hey, so how about tell some of the listeners where they can find Motor City Mo or anything else you want to plug?
Yep. So everything we have is through a company named Three Wise Men, Threeysmen Media. So we got threewisemenmedia.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all that stuff. YouTube. We had a YouTube channel going on. Listen to Elk talk about what's going on in the world of wrestling and his opinions on what some of the greatest stuff is in the history of wrestling.
And then Alistair Dillon likes to review movies and compare them to the classic movie Space Jam.
Oh. All movies are compared to Space Jam.
If you actually dissect almost every movie, you can figure out exactly how it's ripped off of Space Jam.
Damn it, I think a challenge has been issued. I'm going to have to watch Space Jam now and pay real close attention.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, guys, thanks for stopping by. I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot, man. Hope the rest of the con is great for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. You too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting down with Arvell Jones, the man who co-created Misty Knight. Sir, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's been a great little convention here in Monroe, Michigan. And I'm enjoying my, I guess, newfound fame with the character Misty Knight on the Netflix series Iron Fist. So, yeah.
Yeah, can I ask about that? What's it like to now turn on your TV and see your creation right there in front of your face?
Well, I created the character back in the 70s, right out of high school. And although the name, you know, Tony and I compromised and came up with a name for the character, for the most part, the character is exactly how I envisioned her. And I'm lucky to have a showrunner that seems to respect, you know, some of the work that, you know, that we creators have done and, you know, and have been developing the character very close to how we had the original Bible set up. So I am ecstatic. I'm like a little kid in a candy store, you know, and somebody left the keys and left me in there overnight. And I'm... And I hadn't eaten in a while, so I'm in there just having fun.
Well, can I ask real quickly about your co-creator, Tony Isabella? What was it like working with him?
Tony is... I actually knew Tony when we both knew each other when we were fans.
Oh, okay.
So we both had a love of comic books. We both wanted to be part of the business together. He was a fanzine editor. I was, you know... working with a club, and we put together a fanzine as well, and Tony contributed to us. We saw each other at conventions, got to be good friends. So working with him was like almost a natural, you know, when I saw him at Marvel and he was working and I was just getting started, you know, Tony was one of the guys that originally just welcomed me with open arms, and we just started clicking immediately. Yeah. And so it's great. It's like just working with a friend. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. I know I read somewhere where you would do very long car trips to go up to, if I remember correctly, Marvel headquarters to get reviews on your work and whatnot. So how was that experience? Was it crushing if you got rejected, or did you feel elated when somebody said, oh, that's great stuff?
You know, we were on a mission. There were like 14 or 15 of us from Detroit, you know, including Jim Starlin, Alan Milgram, Terry Austin, Mike Nasser, later Netzer, Keith Pollard, Aubrey Bradford, Tom Orzechowski, you know, all these guys wanted to be in the industry. And for years, we would meet on the weekends, show each other our work. We trained ourselves to prepare ourselves for the convention. We'd go up to Marvel and DC to get these critiques, to get beat up, and go back home, you know, so that we can improve, so that we could not just, you know, work in the industry, but try to deliver, you know, a new feel and an updated feel to what was going on and to bring new ideas. And Rich Buckler was the first person to get in. And we had made a pact even before he got in that if one of us got in, we would help each other get in. We all managed to get in. And, you know, it was like just life fulfilling, you know. You know, I didn't feel discouraged getting beat up by, you know, I was like, yeah, give me all your no's now because you're going to run out one day.
This is your last call. You got about real quick. A minute and a half.
All right, so one other question here before we wrap things up. You worked on All-Star Squadron for a while for DC.
Yep. I actually, when Roy Thomas was leaving Marvel and decided he was going to go to DC, he asked me to do some sketches to help him with the concept. I you know, did like a few pages of really rough drawings to give him some visuals. And he never forgot that. And so after a run of Rich Buckler coming back to All-Star Squadron, having worked on it, Roy calls me up one day and says, "Hey, man, I never forgot you." And he said, "Hey, you want to do an issue on All-Star Squadron?" I said, "Well, I don't know. It's a group book, right, with a lot of characters?" Mm-hmm. And he said, "Yeah, I know you don't like a lot of characters, but, you know, wouldn't you want to just do one issue of Shazam versus Superman?" I said, "I'm in!"
See, I was going to ask that question. There's been a ton of people in All-Star Squadron. Did you have a favorite you liked working with or working on?
Well, Roy asked me that question as well, you know, and he said, "You like Kirby, right?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "What Kirby character do you like?" I said, "The Guardian." He says, "Okay." And we started working on The Guardian. He also called me up one day and said, "You know, Starman never had an origin story. How would you like to do Starman's origin story?" I said, "Golden Age Starman?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm in." You know, so after about 3 or 4 of those, you know, I looked up and he goes, "You know, well, you want to keep working on the book?" I was like all elated, you know, at that point. And then I didn't mind drawing all of the characters he brought in. I thought it was just going to be DC characters from the 40s. And he started bringing in Fawcett characters and quality characters.
All right, Brian, technically we have 10 minutes until Monroe Comic Con is over. And
You're correct.
Yeah, you didn't have to look. You didn't have to look on your phone. It says it right here on the computer.
You must be psychic. Because
no, I could tell time.
2 minutes ago, you said 10 minutes.
Well,
maybe
all right.
You travel through time.
Maybe I did. Who knows? Let's talk. How was Monroe Comic Con this year for you, man?
Oh man, gangbusters.
Yeah, you did pretty well. I mean, this place was pretty busy, man, and we were pretty busy, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, man, people picked up issues like 1 or 2 from before, came back to get issue 3. I got people who walked around the con. It's always nice when they're like, "Well, we're going to look around," and they come back and buy it. So
yeah, that's cool.
Steady business, man.
That's cool. I got a chance to do a little podcasting with some of the people that were here that, A, bought your book, or B, they were just friends of the fan. No, not necessarily friends, but they're just, you know, fans.
They're my family members.
They were your family members who buy your books, your friend and your family. No, I misspoke there. I was just saying, like, some of the fans that stopped by. You know,
we talked
to some folks that, you know, had already picked up everything, but they still wanted to chat. You know, I got a chance to talk to Arvel Jones.
Oh, yeah,
which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, classic.
You know, and also, too, I got an opportunity to talk to Glenn Febri, which was pretty awesome as well.
Who wanted to do my book, but I said no.
Because, again, you have a thing against British people.
I'm totally joking.
Yeah, I know. I know. Because you really love British people. In a very unhealthy way. Anywho.
Yep. No, Britain's cool. Yeah. I sympathize with them because we won.
Come
on.
I mean, that's
I'm
right.
Wearing
you're
the
red,
American
white,
flag,
blue.
Right?
You got
you're
it.
Talking British.
You got it. So, you got the new Firefighters book that you're working on that hopefully will be out
soon. It's coming along, man. I mean, the stars are aligning on this one, too, and I'm loving it. So,
cool.
We'll see. You know, we'll see.
All right. Well, with that, man, we're going to wish everybody adieu from the Monroe Comic Con for this year.
You wish them adieu?
I wish them good day.
Good day,
sir.
Okay. Well, back to Britain.
There you go. So, Ryan?
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Yeah, man, I'm a big help.
Thank you, man.
I mean, table partnering
Thanks.
With you, man. So you actually, probably you help sell the most at any show
this time.
Yeah.
Seriously?
I mean, of course, you know, I'm here helps with the creator and all that. But the thing, dude, you got people interested in it like I have never seen before. So
cool.
You're just on fire today.
Thank
you're
you.
On fire today.
Hey, we all.
And I think you got some stuff lined up.
I did. I do have some things lined up. It was a good day today, man. I had a blast up here. Yeah. Gary,
gotta say,
you do a great job, man. Gary, mad props to
Gary's
you, man.
Gary's not here. Why
I know he's not here, but maybe he's listening, man.
He's listening. Well, I hope
not
so.
Not live, but I mean on the podcast, maybe.
Well, he's not listening dead.
No. Anyways.
Deader?
Deader.
All right, with that, let's get on out of here.
Joke.
Yeah, let's get on out of here. So, Brian?
Yeah, Gary is a great guy, and Monroe is a con. Definitely worth visiting.
All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say goodbye from the Monroe Comic Con. Brian, you want to say goodbye?
See ya, chaps. Is
that, that's British, is that enough. British? That's all it. Right. All right, I'll chat in each and every one of you later. So I'll be back here after this quick break to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All of the highlights from this year's Monroe Comic Con. How about Brian Lau getting Clayton Crane to work on yet another project of his? I was very happy for Brian. I really was. It couldn't happen to a better person. His new Detroit Firefighters comic is certainly going to be a really, really good book. It's going to be one that I think is going to really be an emotional roller coaster for the reader. So to have Clayton Crane come on to do the cover, that's awesome. I'd like to apologize once again to Arvell Jones for the technical issues. Hopefully he gets back to me and we can get him on the PVD cast as soon as possible, because I just feel awful. I mean, I feel like I should just apologize for the whole 45 minutes of this podcast or however long it is. I guess it happens to everyone in this world of podcasting. I should probably consider myself lucky that out of 169 episodes, I've only had 3 issues where technology has kind of bit me in the butt, so to speak. But nonetheless, let me know what you think about the episode, if you liked it or if you didn't like it. And you can do that a couple different ways. First, you can email me, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter @pvdmvp, and you can leave me a message on the Facebook page. And that is, of course, facebook.com/pvdcast. And just to let you know, you can get this podcast a variety of different ways. That's if you want to tell somebody about it. You obviously know where it's at because you're listening. But if you want to tell some folks about it and where they can get their hands on it, they can get their hands on it at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, Pod Paradise, the Libsyn Podcast Player, Echo Network. Man, just wherever podcasts are available, you just search for PVDcast, or sometimes you have to add in my name, PVDcast, John Orlando, and you will find it. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous and stay independent.